Bill says he loves the new Pepperjack Ranch spicy chicken sandwich he's eating right now. He also says the spicy Pepperjack cheese and spicy ranch sauce packs a lot of heat. And the spicy all-white meat chicken filet is delicious. He either said this is the most amazing chicken sandwich, or I'm an incredibly handsome and well-spoken leader. Oh, right. It was the chicken. The Pepperjack Ranch Spicy Chicken Sandwich. Only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1. Zero and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to the 20th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that our listeners may step into being the very best version of themselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. Now, today, I have a very, very special guest on the line, Katie Phillips. I met Katie probably a year and a half or so ago now in the flesh in Sydney, I think it was. And Katie has continued to be a consistent source of light and inspiration and wisdom and philosophy for me, and I know for many women around the world. Katie works with driven, successful women who don't feel as though they're a success in their own personal life. She works really together with them to focus on developing a deep, loving, and compassionate relationship with themselves so that they may be of highest service to the world. And she does this through mindset training, emotional mastery, and grounded spirituality. So, Katie, welcome onto the show.
Hi, Amy. Thank you. It's so awesome to be here.
It's a huge pleasure to have you on the show. And I want to talk a lot about your journey and your path and also your accolades. Now, I know that you are passionate about inspiring, educating, and motivating people to live the truth of their heart. And as you said, living your truth takes persistence and determination. So true.
So true.
Katie is also the author of The Self-Love Affair, A Woman's Guide to a Daring and Mighty Life, and is a certified transformational coach. Now, I bought your book and I gave it to my mum to read, and she loved it, and I read it too, so we'll dive into that as well. And Katie also launched her program, Daring and Mighty, in 2010, and she also launched this year the School of Self-Love. She's also a producer of 4 meditation albums, 3 for women and 1 for kids, and last year was a TEDx speaker at none other than Google HQ London. So, my goodness, Katie, you've achieved a huge amount in your wonderful life. And I'd really like to dive into your own description, you know, how you would put it as to what is your purpose at the moment? What is your purpose that drives you forward? And then we're going to dive into your story, which I know is both is incredible and heartwarming, and especially in the way I've heard you tell it. So,
thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
What are you here for? What's your mission, your purpose?
God. I've got quite some feedback. I hope. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear
okay.
you.
Yeah, okay. It's really interesting hearing you say all of that. And then I've just realized, so this is episode 20, right, of your podcast.
Yeah.
And it has just dawned on me that this coming Christmas, so next month, it's 20 years since my mum died.
Oh.
And the 20 years on the 5th of December is looming. You know, it's a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
And I'm always very conscious of that date coming around. And, you know, every year I think it will feel differently. And every year it's the same. It's very painful and upsetting and beautiful, you know, beautiful memories and very sad, upsetting memories. And it's really interesting, you know, you're asking me what's my purpose and what drives me, and it absolutely ties into my story. And it's the idea that I just so desire for every person on the planet to love themselves and to believe that they're enough just as they are, and to know that they are the most perfect, delicious, gorgeous, spiritual being, and their very nature, their spiritual nature is love, and it is perfection. And, you know, there's too many people running around the planet not believing they're good enough and striving for perfection, but it's an ego view of perfection. It's not deep sort of spiritual knowingness of perfection. Can you hear me still?
Yes, I can.
Oh, sorry, funny noise on the line. You know, we forget that that's our very nature. And my story, my history is, you know, my mom took her own life 20 years ago because she didn't think she was enough. You know, it was tough for her. And back then she didn't know what we know now. You know, there were people, you know, 20 years is not that long in history, right? But she didn't have access to this wonderful world of spiritual and personal development that we have now. It, you know, mental health wasn't spoken about then as it is now. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, for very many years, I operated as victim to a lot of the drama and trauma that was my family, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that was her suicide, until I realized that, we'll go into this, but until I realized that I had a choice and I could change that. And when I did realize I had a choice and I could change and I could transform my own story and start to believe that I was good enough, it occurred to me that the reason why I was so driven to help other people to love themselves is because that was my lesson here on this planet. You know, we teach what we need to learn. And I was born into a family that didn't have that deep, deep sense of I'm good enough, that I'm enough, and I'm lovable, and I'm worth loving. And because that was my parents, so it was for me. And so it became my assignment in this lifetime to love myself. And I had to experience it in a, you know, pretty dramatic and traumatic way. And I think the more dramatic our life experience, often that means the greater the assignment is for us to learn what we need to learn, but then go on and teach it. I feel a real responsibility to teach and share the message of self-love. It's like I don't have a choice. I literally feel like I have no choice. I have to do this work. And it's a pleasure, and I love it, and it's so fulfilling and incredible. But I don't have a choice. I literally feel like it's why I was put on this planet. It's why I was given the parents I was given. It's why I was given the life experiences I was given. And it's my job to transparently share all of my life experiences and be relatable, so that I can help people transform in the same way that I have over the last few years. You know, that if I can do it, anybody can. And I wasn't in a good place for a long, long, long time.
That's
so, yeah. So the 20 years is interesting. This is episode 20, and that just kind of clicked something in my mind for me as we're starting off on the call.
Gosh. Everything's coming together. Just explain, audience. I know I use the same languaging as you in many cases, and I know Marianne Williamson talks about this when she teaches A Course in Miracles, but when you talk about assignment, what do you actually mean? Because Marianne Williamson she says that each relationship is an assignment. And for those who perhaps don't quite know what you mean by that, can you explain a little further?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, thanks for picking me up on that, because you're right. It just becomes language, doesn't it? And I don't think to explain it. Well, I believe that we are all spiritual beings here to have a human experience. I believe that most of us have had many, many lifetimes before this one. Mm-hmm. And I believe each lifetime is an opportunity for us to evolve and grow. So our spiritual nature is an energetic nature. We are energetic beings, and energy is designed to be in movement all the time, whether it's contracting or expanding. Energy is moving in one or other direction. Our spiritual nature is that we desire to expand and grow, and our spiritual nature wants and so desires to always be evolving. And we evolve through lessons. We evolve through opportunity. Usually we evolve, the opportunity is difficult. Usually the opportunity is a challenge. And I call that an assignment, because that's the non-victim way to look at it. I feel, you know, it's kind of like for me, I would use, and you're right, Marianne Williamson and The Course in Miracles does talk about it as being an assignment. I see it as this assignment is it's an opportunity for me to go to my next level, to grow. Now, I could choose to be a victim to it. I could choose to be poor me, life's hard, I don't want to go on. And I was that for a long, long time. In that space, my spirit is shrinking. And the experience for me is, I feel like I'm dying inside. You know, when I was victim, you know, when I felt victim to my assignments, so again, assignment being an opportunity to evolve and grow. When I was victim to the assignment, I felt like I had this kind of black hole inside of me. I felt utterly incomplete. I felt damaged. I felt my energy was very low. I got sick a lot. My mindset, you know, I gave myself such a hard time. I mean, it was a really dark, gray place to live. It wasn't nice. Now, when I looked at every assignment as an opportunity to grow, when I was able to flip that and see it as an opportunity to go to my next level, an opportunity to know myself better. And actually, this is really what I teach, it's an opportunity to love myself. And when I say love myself, it's to have compassion and understanding and awareness for myself. As you would a small child, you know, if a small child that's learning to walk falls over, you don't say, stupid kid. You don't say, God, you're stupid. Don't you know by now, you're really not good enough. Right? We don't. We go, oh, sweetheart. Oh, my God. Look at you. You're up for a while there. Try again. You're doing amazing. Keep going. Love you anyway. You know, and you have compassion and understanding. And we as spiritual beings, we're tripping up all day long, but we wanted to be here to have this human experience. You know, our humanness is tripping up and making mistakes because they give us the opportunity to give ourselves compassion and understanding and to love ourselves through it so that we can learn from whatever that lesson was to evolve to our next level. And so every day is an assignment. And speaking from experience and looking at a gazillion clients that I've worked with, every time I choose and the women in my world choose to take the assignment and run with it and discover what they need to discover, they are fulfilled, they're inspired, they're empowered, their life becomes more miraculous and abundant. The process of choosing and running with the assignment is usually very painful. you know, to start with. There's a lot of discomfort. But you know the saying, chaos comes before change. So, you know, you pick up the assignment to run with it, and yeah, it feels chaotic. It feels uncomfortable. It's a bit like, you know, when you fall over and you cut yourself and you get a scab. When the scab is healing, it's itchy. It's kind of tight. It's uncomfortable, but it's healing. And when we run with the assignment, we're actually moving towards a place of healing and growth. And so we must move through that discomfort and that itchiness. And I'm just in awe when I watch anybody choose to go with the assignment and take it up. I think it's so freaking brave. And so inspiring. And everybody I know that does, that's really committed, this is the persistence, determination piece around self-love that you mentioned at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, if you persist with it and you're determined that no matter what, I'm going to learn my lesson here and I'm going to go to my next level with love and compassion for myself, you literally feel your spirit expand. And you literally, when your spirit expands, because it's love, it's like energetically, you just kind of bursting with love at a whole other level, and you've got so much more to share with the world as a result. You know, it's awesome.
It's totally awesome,
right? And I get so excited to see that in other people.
I'm on a very similar, as you know, as we both know, on a very similar vibe and path.
Yeah,
and it is. It's just so miraculously wonderful when you can stand in that level of compassion and self-love. And I know in England particularly, and perhaps in the States as well, but particularly in England and maybe even in Oz and New Zealand, talking about self-love still feels for a lot of people sort of like too airy-fairy and nonsensical and that sort of thing. Yet you and I both know, and perhaps you can explain this as well, the power and the impact that you have as an individual when you step into being. This is why I talk about being brilliant. It really is that, you know, the self-love and the inner peace and all that thing. When you step into that fully, it's like the ground moves under your feet. It's like there's just an eruption of love and expansion, as you talked about, that starts happening in your life. And rather than pushing and pulling and that sort of thing and struggling, things start to manifest, or sort of supposed things that happen, people you bump into. Suddenly somebody offers you a new opportunity, or suddenly you turn around and you see something and it reminds you to do something, and then that opens up another opportunity. So how would you say, you know, when you get to that space, it is persistency, it is a required sort of practice, so to speak, and it's a daily ritual. What was that, you know, how would you describe that feeling?
Being in flow, I would say, because I think, you know, it's I believe as spiritual beings, and I'm pretty sure this is what is quoted in A Course in Miracles, but I'm not going to quote it exact. You know, miracles are natural.
Yes.
As a spiritual being, miracles are totally normal. And I know in A Course in Miracles, it says something along the lines of when miracles aren't happening, there's something wrong. Yeah. There's something off kilter. When we are, you know, we as a spiritual being, as an energetic being, and we look at the bigger picture, we are part of something much larger. We're part of what I like to call source energy, or the universe that some call God, the light. But we are part of something so much bigger, and the substance of that is love. And when we are plugged into and connected to love, when we choose every day to be love, you know, you talk about being, you know, to be love, to show up as love in every situation, we're utterly in alignment with our very nature. And that very nature is connected to source energy, which is all things, and in which all is connected. And so miracles happen. Like you say, you meet the right person, you have that right conversation, coincidences happen, and so on. But when you choose to be love, you're connected to love, the bigger picture, and so miracles happen. And so you're in flow, because flow is, we're just going with the flow of life, and the universe is set up and designed to support us. Yeah. When you plug into it, so it is, you know. And how does that feel? It feels like a miracle. and it feels, am I allowed to swear on your show?
Yeah.
It feels fucking fabulous, right? It's amazing. And I, you know, you, for me in particular, I've got to, you know, it astounds me that if I even look back 10 years ago, I was in the depths of victim. I was such a victim. I couldn't see the wood for the trees. I don't judge myself. It just is, you know. It was my programming. It was kind of in my DNA. It was almost like, you know, like I didn't have a choice because of my conditioning. And yet I know that we do have a choice. And thankfully I discovered that.
I was going to come back to this victim story, because a lot of people, I found through my work, and I know you know this through your work too and your own experience, is that a lot of people walk around in victim and they don't know they're in victim.
Yeah.
So how would you help someone who's perhaps listening and they're sort of wondering, what is she talking about being in victim and that sort of thing? How would you help them identify? Do you have one or two steps or something like that to help somebody identify whether they're in a victim mode?
Yeah, definitely. You'll kind of know it by your, like your, I call it your energetic vibration. What's the, it's how you feel, you know?
Yeah.
You'll know it by how you feel. It's, yeah. If you're feeling, if you think about it, if you want to know what your energetic vibration is, you know, just close your eyes and think of a time in your life that was really hard, really challenging, very upsetting, perhaps quite traumatic, perhaps there was grief. But go to that place and just really connect with the energy of that time, the emotion of that time. And you can feel your body probably contract, shrink in some way. Your shoulders probably drop, perhaps they hunch. You feel heavy, and you probably feel a bit dark and gray. And then if you were to, and that's your energy contracting, that's low vibration. And if you were to think of a time in your life when you were just utterly, ecstatically happy, liberated, free, joyful, and you go into that energy and you can feel your body, you feel your shoulders, you know, come back, your energy kind of expands, you feel light, you feel, it feels effortless, you feel bright. The former is probably victim energy. So if you feel that way quite a lot, you're probably in victim. And another way to check in to see if you're in victim is to just keep a little journal and notice your thoughts every day. So just really, like, what goes through your mind when someone goes to take a photograph of you? What goes through your mind when you're considering going to the gym? What goes through your mind when you're considering what you're going to take out of the fridge or order in a restaurant? What goes through your mind when you're about to turn up to a speaking gig or a job interview or a date? You know, notice what the talk is in your head and start keeping a journal of it and start noticing what you're saying to yourself. Because most of us are walking around the world unconscious to what's going on in our mind. And it's incredibly self-sabotaging. And your work is to move into a place of, you know, like quit the self-harming with the mind talk and move into the self-loving space. And you'll notice through what you're telling yourself, whether you're in victim or not. It's about awareness. It's about creating that awareness first. And knowing that you can change it and trusting that it's just a habit. It's only a habit that you're in of thinking in that way. Victim mindset is only a habit. You can change it. Habits can be changed. It's the good news. You know, it's not something wrong with you. It's just your programming and your conditioning. It can change.
Yeah. And the key there is to realize that we have the choice. Once we're aware, we then have the choice to make that change. And that's again where the consistency and the persistence comes in, because you have to consistently make that, choose that choice.
For every minute of every day, we have to be in choice, literally. And your mind needs training.
Absolutely.
Totally.
It's like going to the gym and training your biceps. You know, you've still got to train the muscle in the brain.
Absolutely. It's a full time job. Like, I mean, God, it sounds like such a car bumper sticker, but you know, self love isn't a destination. It is a journey, and it is a choice every single day to be conscious, to choose compassionate thoughts, to treat, I could go on. I won't go on. I'll let you ask me the next question.
When I know for me, when I first started opening up into this whole realm of inner peace and self-love and that sort of thing, and stopping the harsh criticism that I told myself, it just makes everything easier, from relationships to reaching for goals to just anything and everything. It just makes everything so much easier. And I know, particularly with difficult relationships, it makes having those conversations so much easier, because you no longer care what the other thinks. Moreover, you're bringing to the party an open heart and love. And when you share that, people feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That's amazing. Okay, so I want to delve a little bit further into your story and that moment that you woke up, because I know I heard it on your TED Talk, and I'd just like you to share a little bit with the audience so they can see now where you've got to, but really, where did you come from? That, you know, that pivotal moment in your life. If you could just share that would really help, I think, people relate to what you're talking about, what we've just been talking about.
Yeah, sure. It's the eat, pray, love, you know, Liz is on the floor, on the bathroom floor scenario, you know, when she talks to God for the first time. That was kind of me. I'd hit what I thought was absolutely bottom very many times with, I suffered absolutely terrible anxiety. I was very worried from, I think, literally the day I was born. I was such a worried child. I had a lot of good reason to worry. When I look back, I can see that me as a little girl was scared her mum was going to take her own life, and was scared that dad was going to run off with another woman. I mean, I was scared that I didn't feel safe. As much as my parents utterly adored and loved me, they had their own stuff going on, and I was a very worried child, and that turned into real anxiety as I grew into my adult years. The worst happened, losing mum to suicide, and I lost dad as well, and his own life choices, let's say. And I found myself in, you know, back-to-back dramatic relationships. I didn't know how to be in a loving, healthy relationship. So there was a lot of drama. My anxiety only worsened. It turned into a level of depression. I had my son, and when I was in my early 30s, and I had a bit of postnatal depression as well as circumstantial depression. So I was, I found myself sort of 35, 36 years old with real depression and anxiety, and another failed relationship. My son's father and I split up, and I thought, what's wrong with me? I can't make anything work. Am I ever going to feel better? I looked at other people around me, and I thought that literally they drew the lucky straw and I didn't. I literally thought that I was damaged.
And the key here, is on the outside, you were successful and you had all the outward looking.
Oh, yeah.
Ego.
Yeah, I did. I did. So, yeah, so what I'm sharing right now is how I felt on the inside. I don't think, apart from the guy I was in a relationship with, you know, whoever that was at the time, that would have been the only person that, and maybe my sister, that really knew how anxious and depressed I was. Yeah, I was, you know, I was out and about, gregarious, fun, social, had a very successful career. I was traveling the world. I was always, you know, on some adventure. You know, I was climbing Kilimanjaro one minute, and I was, you know, running some big project at an Olympic Games the next minute. I, you know, it was all looked great. And yeah, no, on the inside though, I just felt like I had that black hole and I couldn't fill it. And I tried to fill it. So I did the, you know, the textbook, looking outside of myself for a sense of self. Because I didn't have a sense of self. So I looked to the man in my life. I looked to the career. I looked to drugs, to alcohol, to parties, to adventure, you know, I to try and find myself and to make myself happy. What I've come to know is that a sense of fulfillment and inner peace must start. It's an inside job, right? It's got to come from self. And I had to learn to get to know myself. Before that happened, though, I had to hit rock bottom. So, yeah, I split up with my son's father, went into a terrible relationship after that for a year, frying pan into fire. I look back and it's kind of humiliating and embarrassing, and yet it was the making of me. And I look back with thanks. Because it really was the rock bottom I had to hit to turn the corner. And my rock bottom day looked like me taking Valium, closing the blinds, locking the door to my bedroom in the middle of the day, putting myself in bed with the Valium and literally hoping the world would go away. And it was, I will never forget it. It was a terrible day. And there was this persistent little voice deep inside me that said, Katie, you're worth so much more than this. You have got to figure out a way to do life differently. And I know you don't know what it is. And I know you don't know where to start. And I know you feel like, you know, I absolutely could see myself becoming my mother. I mean, I was fast tracking. I didn't want to kill myself that day, but I knew that if I carried on like I was, I would do what she did. And I would just repeat her life. Mm-hmm. And it's so textbook. You know, I was just behaving and thinking and feeling and reacting to life in the way that was modeled to me. And just nobody showed me a different way. But that little voice said, there is a different way. And you just have to choose now to figure out what that different way is. And it is that word choice. You know, I had to choose a different way. And so I got up out of bed. And I can't quite remember what happened over the coming weeks. But what I know for sure is because I chose to, I just had this moment of clarity. I was like, you can become mum or not.
Yeah.
And I just chose not to. And then miracles began to happen.
Oh,
so, you know, like I chose love. I didn't know I was choosing love, but I did. I chose love and not fear in that moment. And that's, you know, when you choose love, as I was saying before, you're plugged in to something bigger. And so miracles happen. I didn't know it. But then, you know, I met a coach that then became just pivotal in my life. I would read a book or hear a line in a song or be introduced to a Louise Hay gratitudes sort of affirmation meditation CD. I thought she was a nut job at the time, but actually it changed my life. So things just lined up one by one by one. And over the weeks, months, you know, that first year in particular, so much happened to support me and show me a different way. And I had huge, huge transformation in a couple of years, in a very short space of time, which then took me to a place of such healing and just such miraculous change that I thought, God, I need to I need to share this with other people. This is like, this is a miracle. You can change your life. So
and share it with the world so brilliantly. This is Amy Hackett-Jones on her 20th episode of Being Brilliant, speaking to Katie Phillips, who is the self-love coach, and you can find her at www.daringandmighty.com. I love that. And she's also just launched another website called www.theschoolofself.love. I love that. This is fantastic. The School of Self.love. So that's where you can find Katie. Now,
can I just interrupt you, Amy, for 1 second and say the School of Self.love isn't really up and running at the moment as a public space. Sorry, I probably confused you there, but daringandmighty.com is.
Okay, perfect. That's where to go. Daringandmighty.com if you'd like to check out Katie and her services. Mm-hmm. Now, Katie has chosen an awesome song for us to listen to today. And we're going to talk about the song and why it inspires her so much right afterwards. Here we have Can't Stop the Feeling.
I'll try not to sing and ruin it.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off to my city, off to my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it, so don't stop.
great. Got a little bit of an extended version there. I love it.
Oh, God. It just makes you feel so good, doesn't it? That was
doesn't it feel great?
I know. Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake. And for anybody who would like to buy and download that, you can go straight on over to iTunes. So, Katie, why that choice of song? It's kind of obvious, but tell me why.
Yeah, it's a bit obvious, isn't it? Oh, God, it just, the second it comes on, it makes me want to dance, you know? And I, you know, I'm all about, like I was saying earlier, it's all about, if you want to be in flow in life, you have to have a really beautifully high energetic vibration. And there's all sorts of ways that we can raise our energetic vibration, but music and dance is one of them. So, it just raises my vibe. It's an awesome way to start the day. And it actually just reminds me of how, for me personally, just how far I've come. You know, when I listen to that, I literally feel like he's describing my life. And I still think that's a miracle because I know where I used to be. And that just never occurred to me that I could feel like that every day. I'm not saying like I'm on a high all day every day. That's unrealistic. But I feel like that most of the time. And I know that when you feel like that most of the time, miracles keep happening. And, you know, and life feels a lot easier and fun. So, yeah. That's why I like that song.
Wonderful. If I had a camera on me right now, you would have seen me bopping away the whole way through.
Yeah, and me.
Just one simple, easy way to raise your vibe. Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake.
Exactly. Totally. I just want that every morning.
Yeah. That on is your alarm clock. I just love the way he talks about walking around with the sunshine in your inner pocket. And I just thought, gosh, that's just so...
Exactly.
Vibrant and beautiful and just brilliant.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's such an awesome song. I literally cannot get sick of it. And I know they've totally like played it to death on the radio. I still love it.
Oh, I've just had a couple of WhatsApp messages from friends of mine who are listening to us live in Panama. Can you believe it?
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it.
One of them says, how do you recharge your batteries to maintain that high?
Yeah, really good question. Well, that's when a daily spiritual practice comes into play. And when I say a daily spiritual practice, I mean, you're a spiritual being, right? So what do you as a spiritual being need every day to feel good? If you make feeling good your agenda every day, what do you need? So one of my favorite things every morning when I wake up is I ask myself, how do I feel and what do I need today? And just check in with myself, you know, check in with myself mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. What do I need to feel good? Do I need to have a clearing conversation with someone? Do I need to go get myself in the gym? Do I need to make sure I eat a really sort of healthy, vibrant diet today? Do I need to sit and do a meditation or journal? I just tune in with myself. And I, you know, self-love is all about developing that relationship with yourself and trusting yourself so that when you can ask yourself that question, you can trust that the first couple of things that come to mind are really what you need that day. And I believe if you honor whatever that voice, that wisdom inside you says that you need today, if you honor that, that's the most self-loving thing you can do. Rather than putting your to-do list first or other people's needs first or, you know, the shoulds of life, if you put what you need first, that will raise your vibe, guaranteed. And then you will be of greater service to everybody else. So there's nothing selfish or egocentric about it. You'll actually be of higher service. You'll have much more to give when you do that. So ask yourself every morning, what do I need? And do it. Like, don't just pay lip service to it. This is, again, where the determination and persistence comes in. You know, self-love isn't just getting massages. And self-love isn't just a pretty little concept. Self-love actually requires you to take action and do what you need to do. to ask yourself what you need and then bloody well go do it. Make it happen. Make it happen as a priority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Now, you mentioned something there about selfishness and egocentric behavior.
Mm.
Why is loving yourself not selfish or egocentric?
Because if you think about yourself, you know, like, let's just choose the metaphor of a car with a petrol tank.
Yeah.
And if you don't put petrol in the car, it doesn't go anywhere. It's of no service, it's of no use, right? And it's the same with love. If we don't, we want to love other people. We want to be of service. It's our nature, and it's beautiful in our human and our spiritual nature. We want to love and take care of other people. We want to support people. We want to contribute. When we do it to our own detriment, though, that's really unhealthy, and that goes into a conversation around codependency. We want to be of service. Of course we do. But we don't want to be of service from a place of martyr and exhaustion and resentment. And that is how it feels when we don't fill ourselves up first. So if we don't, a bit like the petrol tank, if we don't fill ourselves with love first, we haven't got any love to give. Mm-hmm. And then actually we're kind of a martyred, shriveled, exhausted version of ourselves. We're not giving our best self to the world. So if we can love ourselves enough to put ourselves first, and to honor ourselves and our needs, the people around us that we love and want to be of service to are going to get the best of us. Simple. Yeah. You know, but it is a stretch. It's a stretch to move into that mindset. Most of us, we're conditioned and programmed to believe that it's selfish to put ourselves first. Yeah. And to such a degree that we don't even know who we are or what we want, because we're so used to putting everybody else first.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a massive shift into kind of like discovering yourself and knowing what you need. That's a massive piece of transformation right there for a lot of people.
Yeah, that, and I'm really beginning to open up the question of who am I and why am I here?
Mm.
I mean, that's such a huge
yeah.
one. And I can talk for hours with you on that, I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would you... you know, talking to the listeners here, how would you describe to them or show them how to love all parts of themselves, mind, body, emotions, and spirit? Would that be through a meditation? Would that be through a particular exercise?
Yeah, I mean, God, yeah, there's so many different ways you could approach
yeah.
that. I mean, we could do a little meditation if you'd like to. We could just, you know, there's a lovely way to start your day is to literally just sit in meditation with your eyes closed and check into all parts of yourself and ask yourself what you need.
Right.
You know, I mean, and to give you some examples to loving all parts of yourself, you know, if you think about it, let's just go a bit sort of get into the intellect here for a second, but you know, loving your mind might be getting a journal out and noticing what critical things you're saying to yourself, and choosing affirmations and self-loving thoughts instead. Loving
yeah.
your body might look like going to the gym or doing a cleanse, you know, noticing, you know, eating more nutrients and drinking more water and cutting out the stimulants, you know, the caffeine and the booze and sugar. Loving your emotions, for example, might look like journaling to get out and express your emotions. It might look like grabbing a bat and a pillow and giving it a good bash, you know, or screaming underwater or screaming into a pillow. And loving your spiritual self could be taking yourself for a walk on the beach or doing something that just really lights you up and has you feel just utterly connected to yourself. It could be a meditation. It could be journaling. So it's really finding those things that you can do for you on all of those four levels that have you feel that you're honoring yourself and knowing yourself every day.
And becoming
yeah.
your own.
Yeah, totally. Becoming like that one person in the world that you can utterly trust and rely on and know will always be there for you. And doing that not from a place of victim, which says,
yeah.
oh, I'm the only person that I can rely on. I can't rely on anyone else. but coming from a place of real sufficiency and fulfillment, which is I love myself so much and I can utterly rely on myself, and I so love that I can rely on myself. I just so love that I can trust myself. How awesome is that? You know, from that energy, that is a real game changer.
Amazing. So can I invite you to take us through a short meditation?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. A little, like just a little meditation that might be a nice way to kind of start the day.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
All right, let me just get myself set up here. Okay, well, I'm going to be doing it with you. So I would invite you to sit upright in your chair, wherever you are. But the idea is to love yourself enough to be present to the meditation. So sitting up shows a level of honor and respect that you kind of mean business here. You know, you're here, you're showing up for yourself. And your feet are on the ground. And I like to put my hands in my lap with my palms facing upwards. I feel like I'm in a receptive state there with my palms open to source energy to receive what needs to be received. And just start by noticing your breathing and breathe deeply down into your belly. The idea is to bring the breath all the way down into your hips. Quite often we're in a practice of breathing high and shallow, so up into our shoulders and chest. Just notice where your breathing is going and consciously bring it down into your belly. And just allow yourself to drop into the moment and allow yourself to be fully present. And a really nice way to feel present and connected to the moment is to just notice your physical self, be in touch with your physical self. So start by noticing just how it feels for the oxygen to pass through your nostrils. Just feel them on the edge of your feel it on the edge of your nostrils. Feel that air move down into your stomach. Become aware of your body, starting at your toes. And just do a little physical check-in, scanning from your toes all the way up to your head, noticing where you're holding tension. So from your toes, along your feet, up through your ankles, your shins and calves, into your knees, up into your thighs, your buttocks. Notice where there's any tension, any tightness, and just choose to breathe into that area and relax it. So up into your pelvis, your lower belly and your lower back, up further into your chest and across the upper back. Notice your shoulders, your arms, your hands. Again, where there's tension and tightness, breathe into those spaces. And just enjoy feeling and relaxing and moving up into your neck, your head over your scalp. Notice where you're holding tension across your forehead, your eyes, your cheeks, your mouth, your tongue, your chin, the front of your neck. Just relax and release all the tension. And as you connect into your body, know that you're connecting into your feminine energy. It's the home of the feminine, the real power source. And we forget to honor and connect to our beautiful physical selves. So in this moment, love your body. Just love every part of it. And I know there's parts that you don't love. But right now, I invite you to choose utter self-love, unconditional love. Think about the parts of your body that you really don't appreciate so much and give them a little bit of extra love. And just ask your body, what do I need today? How can I love you more today? Do you need rest? Do you need movement and exercise? Do you need a good, healthy lunch? What do I need today? And honor that. Choose to do that for yourself today. Or choose to schedule it in this week. And notice how much more present and connected to yourself you feel now that you've done that quick physical check-in. And then I want you to notice how you're feeling and just check in with your emotional self. We can definitely feel more than one thing at once. And it's really self-loving thing to do, to just kind of label everything that you're feeling and honor it. Give it a little bit of time and space rather than repress it or ignore it, which often only makes us feel sick. How do you feel? Are you happy, sad, tired, stressed, anxious, excited, optimistic? You could feel all of that at once. So just honor your emotions. And just take a big deep breath. As you really honor and recognize how you're feeling. And if tears come, let them flow. And ask yourself, what can I do today to honor my emotions? What do I need today? And love yourself enough to give yourself the time and space to do what you need. And then I want you to connect in with your intellectual self, your mental self. And just notice what's going on in your mind. What judgmental or critical or self-sabotaging thoughts are running around. What would you like to choose to believe or think instead? What might be a more self-loving thought for you today? Is there a mantra that you'd like to carry through your day today? I am enough. I am love, loving and lovable. I'm meant to be here. What do you need to believe today to make today an awesome day? How can you love your mind today? And what do you need to do to love your mind more today? Do you need to spend some time journaling? Do you need to spend some time in meditation to calm your mind? Or maybe your mind needs a little bit of activity. Maybe you're ready to take up a new class or a course. What does your mind need? And love yourself enough to honor that. And I'd also invite you to remember that you're probably in the practice of being led by your intellect. And that actually, when your spiritual self is in the driving seat, life feels so much easier. So at the same time as honoring your beautiful mind, choose today to be led by your spiritual self, by your spiritual nature, which is so wise, so intuitive, and that just is love. Choose now to connect to your spiritual self. Just take a deep breath as you connect to your spiritual self, the truth of who you are. And make a commitment, show a willingness that you desire to know and love yourself more deeply, knowing that that will come through a connection to your spirit. And ask your spirit today to show you, might be a little sign, little piece of guidance, little signpost that will show you today how you can become more connected to your spiritual self. And look out for that today. Ask for a sign that you've been heard. and choose today to be love. Take a deep breath. And just feel how great it feels to be connected to all parts of yourself. And really congratulate yourself for taking a few minutes to start your day in connection with all parts of yourself. And have a beautiful day. When you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Wow.
How nice would it be to start the day with that every day? I don't know how long that went for. What, probably 5 minutes?
I think it was just a bit over, but that's perfect. That was. Thank you so much, Katie, for sharing that.
Sure. It's a good way to start the day, though, right?
I already feel energized, and it's only half an hour.
Yay!
Oh, that's just perfect. And the way you went through all the different, you know, the mind, body, emotions, and spirit, etc. That's just fantastic. Thank you so much. It was a real privilege.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
So this is Amy Hackett-Jones, episode 20 of the Being Brilliant radio show. And I've been talking with Katie Phillips, self-love coach and mentor. And you can find her at www.daringandmighty.com.
Perfect.
Katie, it has been such a huge pleasure to have you on the show. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I've loved it too. It's been really fun. Thanks.
It's been so much fun. Thank you so much. You were such a brilliant guest, and this is really all about being brilliant, and you really emulated that and embodied it for our listeners. So I can't wait to catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, me too.
I'll meet you in London soon. And to everyone else online, please go and check out Katie's website, daringandmighty.com. She also has her book out, which is called Daring.
The Self Love Affair.
There we go. That's one. Self Love Affair: A Woman's Guide to a Daring and Mighty Life. So go and check that out. Is that on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. And actually, in the next week or so, all of the meditation albums will be available on Amazon as well. I've got one for children. I've got three for adults.
Wonderful.
So, in the next week or maybe 2 weeks, they'll be up and out on Amazon as well.
Oh, fantastic. So if you'd like more meditations from Katie, then definitely head on over to Amazon. That's Katie Phillips at daringandmighty.com. Thank you so much again, Katie. I can't wait to catch up.
You're welcome.
And
you're welcome.
To everybody else out there online, go out there and be your brilliant selves, everyone. Show the world what you're made of, and that's oodles and oodles of love. Until next time, ciao for now.
Thanks, Amy. Bye.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Bill says he loves the new Pepperjack Ranch spicy chicken sandwich he's eating right now. He also says the spicy Pepperjack cheese and spicy ranch sauce packs a lot of heat. And the spicy all-white meat chicken filet is delicious. He either said this is the most amazing chicken sandwich, or I'm an incredibly handsome and well-spoken leader. All right, it was the chicken. The Pepperjack Ranch Spicy Chicken Sandwich. Only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.